Our democracy is hanging by a thread, but we know it's not about just winning and losing each battle. It's about persistence and building resilience.
That's why we're launching the Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical.
If you're looking for ways to get engaged or just for ways to stay sane, we want to help you navigate what comes next.
It's an exciting collaboration with political dynamo Jess Craven, author of the Chop Wood, Carry Water newsletter,
and grassroots activist Steve Pearson, host of the How We Win podcast.
Every week on the Practivist Pod, we're going to have important conversations with changemakers, give you practical ways to make an impact, have some fun, and inspire hope.
This is more than a podcast. It's a place for our community to grow our practice of advocacy for justice, equity, and progress.
Action is the best antidote for anxiety. So subscribe to the Practivist Pod today.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is my BFF, my badass bestie, Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. We had a lot of fun. We recorded this on Sunday, but it's an evergreen, so I'm posting it today. Before you enjoy this, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. Welcome back to the show, Stephanie.
I love that game show host entrance.
Let's play the Family Feud. Okay.
Spin the wheel.
Yeah,
actually, I always wanted to be on Family Feud.
I always wanted to be on Wheel of Fortune.
I auditioned for it when I was 19.
Really?
Yes. And I made it to like the final round, but I just didn't have the gusto because I was too cool.
You didn't have gusto?
I didn't have the gusto. I was 19 and there was this woman who was in my like final three where we were playing a mock game. Mm-hmm. And her name was Beverly Dodge and she was a teacher from God, like Ohio or something. And she kept going, come on.
Come on,
and
big money.
I just wasn't willing to go there. And now I'd be like you know, jumping on top of Vanna White, please. And then I saw Beverly Dodge win it all on
TV. Wow.
Yes.
Pretty cool. That's pretty
cool. It was Beverly Dodge.
Do you remember how much she won?
I don't. It was, you know, that was like, I was 19. So let's do some quick math. That was 41 years
ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, you're ancient. I'm just kidding.
I am, kidding.
We're basically the same age, so I'm ancient too. But
I know.
Oh
Ancient's
my God.
Good though.
I know. Well, okay, like before we continue, number one, I want to say we have no notes. There's no notes. Once again, we're just going to say whatever comes on our mind, which means we have no idea what we're going to talk about. Maybe we'll get to politics. Maybe we won't. We probably will, but there's, you know, we're just going to talk about whatever we feel like talking
about. Listen, I'd be mad if you had notes. Let me just make it real clear.
And okay, so I'm going to start my complaint. And before I start my complaint, I need to tell everybody I don't want any fucking lectures. No fucking lectures. So,
okay.
You know, I had to go to Mary Trump's party back in November. So when I found out we had 3 weeks notice, at the start of this year, and I want to talk to you about that. I do want to, it's political, but it's at the start of the year. Cause you know, we were all in a really freaked out mode at the beginning of the year. And so of course, every year I want to lose weight. Every month I want to lose weight. It's always my priority and it just hasn't been happening. So, 3 weeks before we go to New York, I'm like, all right, this is my wake up call that we're going to be doing things from time to time. And I got to get out of the house and see people and I want to lose weight. So, you know, that's okay. I started eating differently and I'm not pushing myself crazy, but I've seen progress. So that's good. But then the other thing is that my fingernails, aside from the fact they've always been the bane of my fucking existence, because I pick at them and I can't leave them alone. I have a compulsion with them. And I can, but I give into my compulsion. So on top of it, now I give into my compulsion because my nails are weak and there's nothing, I can't grow them. I've tried. It doesn't matter what I do, they just rip. So I wanted to have nice nails. So I stupidly decided to get the gel nails. And now I know that people do this all the time. I'm not an all the time person with the fucking nail salon. I don't like nail salons. I don't enjoy it. I don't feel pampered. I feel like it's an imposition on my time and I just don't like it. I'm just not made for that. So I go the first time and they do my nails and they're nice, right? They're pretty. They're a red color. They're a little longer than I wanted, but I did. And I didn't have the, wherewithal to basically just demand that they make them as short as I want. I was intimidated, I guess. So, and I didn't know what to do. I kept telling her shorter and it was just never short enough because I didn't want long nails. I just wanted just over my finger. And anyway, so I get home and I think I hate them and I spend all this fucking money because I had my, I also, everybody knows this. I also had my a pedicure. So they slough all that shit off your feet. And I came home that night and took a shower and my feet were so slippery that I fell in the shower and I had this mass. I had this massive bruise on my arm.
Oh my Lord, have no, mercy. I'm sorry. We're old people. Let's just get that out of the gate
for
our listeners and supporters. Yeah.
Second fall this year. First fall, that was not my fault. I did.
Jesus God.
Anyway, so then I go back, right? Because it's like for Thanksgiving and I want to have my nails. I figure, okay, I'm going to keep this because I love the way they look. Once I cut them down, I loved them. I thought they were so pretty. And then I'm like, all right, I want to get them done for Thanksgiving. So I just wanted like this pale kind of neutral pink. And I don't know what my nail technician this time was awful.
They
were so thick. They looked and the way that she put them on, it looked like they had already been on for a week.
Ew,
because of the growth. And so
So you had that white at the very end. I hate it when they don't go to the edge.
And they're thick. They're really thick. It looked so ugly. So I started fucking with them. And now I've picked all of them off but three. And I've damaged my nail. So my nails are so fucking badly damaged.
Yep, you sure did.
And now I just have to deal with it. So anyway, I just needed to complain about that. And the reason I say I don't want lectures is because you have to put your fucking nails or your fingernails in that infrared light or whatever it is. And that's not good for you. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a
problem
forever. You
can do it at home. It's just, it takes time.
I know.
Do you know how to do it at home?
I do have one of those light things.
No, you don't need the light thing.
Oh, to take it off, you mean?
You get a really good, like a coarse file, and then you try to, you get as much of the gel off before, you get to the nail, before you get to the top layer of the nail that you pulled off when you took it off with your hands.
Yeah.
and then you get the cotton and you soak acetone.
Yeah,
and then you put it around foil and then you put on a show that you don't need to stop and start 14 times because you won't be able to do it because you'll foil on all your fingers.
Right.
And then you get a less coarse nail file. I do it at home because I don't like to go back.
Right.
But here's the other thing. I don't get gel very often unless I'm like traveling, and I'm going to be, I want to look nice. Like if it's business or something. But yeah, because it takes the top layer and then you've got the peeling nails for a month afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just never going to do this again.
When will we learn.
I know. I'm never going to do this again. And I just feel like, I feel like I'm glad I didn't make a mistake on my face and feel like this regret for my face, but, like doing something that might have fucked my face up, but it's just,
I have a story about that'll make you laugh, but please
tell me, let's go for it.
Okay. So, probably at least a decade ago when there was zero need for anything going in my face, and so I don't, I'm also kind of embracing, like, I'm not going to lie. I've tried a couple of things over the years, like, I did. I went to a Botox house party because I had a friend whose cousin was a med spa, like a real nurse that did this for a living. And she'd show up with like a briefcase filled with injections and stuff. And I'm like, what? So people are, flitting around the living room and shit. And I go, well, I said, what do you think? What would you recommend for me? Mind you, I don't even know if I'm 50 at this point. And I look like I'm, 36 at the most, And so she goes, well, maybe a little bit of Botox because you got these wrinkles above your eyebrows. And I'm like, sure. So she hits me with a little bit of above eyebrow Botox on both sides, one eyebrow straight across, one eyebrow straight up like a cartoon
Oh my
villain.
God. Oh my God.
Okay. And you know me, I've got short hair.
Yeah.
So thank God it was in the era of the longer bang because I just pulled my bangs forward. I have a dermatologist that I've been seeing since I was like 25 years old. And now my kids see him and stuff. And I go, I sent a picture via email to the office and I said, what do I do? And he goes, you got to wait that shit out. You got to wait that shit out. It's going to take 4 months. I'm gonna text you a picture because I saved it. It's hilarious. So needless to say, I want to play by the Linda Hamilton rules,
I
which
was just
is,
gonna talk about her,
yeah, I've earned this, man. I've earned this. I got a wrinkly neck. I call it a skin scarf that I have around my neck. And you know what? I'm 60,
I
so
know.
I should look this way.
You know what? That's what I keep telling myself because I'm gonna be 60 in 2.5 years. And I feel like, okay, like the other day when it was like a Thanksgiving photo I took of myself, and I could see two lines, vertical, not horizontal, on my forehead, like the in between your eye. And they're not even that bad. But I just completely freaked out about it. And I started apologizing to Bob. I keep apologizing to Bob. I'm like, I'm sorry, I look
And
old.
he's like, he
And
goes,
he's
if
like, what
you
the fuck is wrong
apologize,
with you?
yeah,
Why do you keep
you're gonna have to
apologizing to me?
apologize
And
for
I'm
something
like,
else.
but I started thinking about it last night. Okay, I just hear me out. I do not want to sound like this is going to sound so up my own ass and conceited and gross, but I swear to God, just let me get through it. So it's like when I was a little girl, I remember my mother always told me that I was beautiful, but I didn't really feel beautiful. And I think every parent thinks their kid is beautiful. So it's like, I didn't really think anything about it. And then I got, I had a stomach, like my whole thing. I was never fat as a kid, but I was kind of like thick and big. I was always big. Like all the Mexican people always call me grandota. It's like, please don't call me that, but whatever.
Oh,
All the
God
fucking
damn
time.
it.
I'm the
But
wera
that's a
mate.
term. That's a term of endearment.
I
They
know it
probably are
is.
like, yeah,
I know it
I
is, but
know.
it's like I'd hear wera grandota all the time. The white big girl. So anyway, my whole thing was like when I would take a bath when I was a little kid, I would have a stomach and I'd have rolls in my stomach, and so I would just look up. That's what I did. And so okay, but then I get older and I'm really gross, right? Because I go through that phase of gross. 12-year-old grossness.
Oh,
And then I
yeah, the
become a swan.
awkwards.
Yeah, I was super awkward. I was just so gross. And I kind of knew it and I kind of didn't care. And then I turned 13 and I started blossoming. And then I realized, oh, I'm pretty, right? Everybody's telling me, oh my God, you're so beautiful. You should be a model. You should be a model. And it was like everywhere I went, that's all I heard is that I should be a model. And it was like to the extreme where when I was, this is so funny and embarrassing, but you're a kid. So I was 15 and I wrote in my diary, I literally wrote this. I wrote, I cause a sensation wherever
Oh
I go. But
my
it's because I
God.
did. Like I was 6 feet tall and blonde and pretty. And at the time, I fit in with what the models of the time looked like, right? Like, because it slowly,
Right.
what like it went into heroin chic and then I no
It
longer fit
caused
in.
a sensation
Like
wherever
a,
I
when I first read that as an adult, I was laughing
go.
so fucking hard. But it was really
I'm in
more out of
heaven.
like, I couldn't believe it because I had
Right,
always just been this,
totally.
not the ugly duckling, but I was just like the geek. And then here I was the swan, and all these men were paying attention to me, and women were like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. So here I am walking around with the understanding that, okay, I am a beautiful woman and everybody's telling me I'm beautiful. And then I decide I'm going to be an actor. And, you know, and at the time when I was a little kid, I'm like I said, I was kind of fat and I was just a, that's kind of never left me. Okay. This kid, this geek kid in me has always been there. And there's always a part of me that no matter how glamorous I could look, when I came home, I took off all my makeup and, you know, I would feel like that kind of chubby kid. And it led to eating disorders. It led to fucking not eating enough for years. It led to me hating myself. So that's why I want to be really clear. This is not me being up my own ass. But it's like I had this gay friend.
Dude, never apologize. We're real with each other. Yeah, and it's like so.
I had this gay friend, or I still have him. His name is Steve, and he was an actor. And I asked him, I said, "Am I beautiful or am I really beautiful?" And of course, that he's laughing at me, acting like, "Oh my god, that's the most conceited thing I ever heard." But really, what I meant was, "Am I beautiful enough?" Is my beauty gonna hit in Hollywood? It wasn't. And it sounded so conceited. And he just laughed at me. And it was really coming from this deep insecurity that's like, yeah, yeah, I know. Everyone says I'm pretty, but am I pretty enough? Are my looks enough? And I so desperately, I heard all of this feedback from age 15 to like early 20s. Oh my God, you're so beautiful. You should be a model. You should be. Then I get into Hollywood and nobody wants to really have anything to do with me. And it's a completely different situation in Hollywood. So anyway, I go through my life, I leave Hollywood and, you know, I recognize that I'm an attractive woman and people consider me beautiful, but really you haven't seen me when I don't have my makeup on and you really don't know what I look like. I'm presenting this illusion to you, and you know, when I go home, that's the real me, and nobody can really accept the real me because I have fat thighs, and my thighs are gross, and I have veins in my legs, and you know, and I bite off my nails, and I have acne, and I sweat underneath my arms, and all these reasons why I was just really ugly. You know, it's like I put on a mask, and you can see that's the outside me, but this is the real me. So anyway, now I'm at the phase where I'm starting to dull. I thought of this last night. My beauty, my youth, all of it, it's starting to dull. And that's why I want to apologize to Bob, because I feel like you met me when I looked, when I wasn't dull, but now I'm dull. And of course, he doesn't see it that way, but I do. And I think what I experienced when I was younger was a little bit of resentment. And this sounds so weird, but it was like, I thought, okay, God, you made me beautiful, but not beautiful enough. And it's like that is such a fucked up way to think, but that's how insecure I've been. And now that I'm older and I feel like I'm dulling, I'm like back to that chubby 13-year-old geek. I'm like, that's who I really am, see? And okay, now I'm just laying it bare for all you people because it's like it either sounds conceited or it sounds like I'm fishing for compliments. I'm not. I'm not. And then what I do is I realize, wait a minute, I'm going to be 60 in 2.5 years. So there's my little spiel, but it's hard. It's hard to lose your youth.
Yep, it is. And you know what? Sometimes I'm bummed about that. But other times I'm like, I have this joke. I have a girlfriend who's she's exactly to the day 3 years younger than me. We have the same birthday. And we do this funny Southern voice where we're like, Angie, her name's Angie. and I always go, you know what, Angie? We're alive. We're alive. And we're playing rock and roll music in a band.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know what? We have our health. Mm-hmm. I still have the majority of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I can still. I got kind of a bad haircut right now, which for me is a bummer because my hair is so short. You know, it's like, oh,
I do
right,
too.
Well, yeah. I'm going to make this work for the next 4 weeks and just hope for the best, you know. But listen, it's weird when so much of our value as women. And I do, and I'm going to say women of a certain age because we are, you know, we're the older Gen X's and we know what that's like. It's like we've heard it all. We've seen it all. We've been objectified in every way humanly possible. We've been touched. We've been cast aside. We've had our ideas stolen. We've been told to suck D for a promotion. I mean, there ain't nothing.
Plus, we grew up in the era of size zero.
Of course. And I've never been a size zero. Okay. I mean, you're 6 feet tall. Like,
Yeah, I
please, if you were
couldn't
a
be a
size
size
zero,
zero.
I think you'd be the crypt keeper at this point.
Right.
But like, so much. And I'm going to throw something else in there. I'm a brown girl
Right.
from the jump. Like there's no hiding that. So there was a whole other standard that I couldn't, I had
Right.
hips, I had titties. I've been like pretty much this size since, well, close to. But you know what I mean? Like I had big boobies. Now they're they're dangling at my freaking belly button right now with my pajamas on as I talk to you. But hey, look, they look decent in a bra today.
Yeah,
And so that's,
right.
I'm taking the wins right. But like to be held to these
Standards,
standards
yes.
are really tough. And then you think about, folks that, not everybody can be the causing a sensation wherever they go. And I'm not making fun of you, but you know what I'm saying. You
I
know what I'm
make
saying?
fun of me because that was
And
funny.
so I love that. I think that's amazing because you were like, what is going on? Like a few years ago, they were poking fun at me because I was
Right.
the tallest kid in the room with a pair of Coke bottle glasses on. Like, uh-oh, what's happening? But so now I'm taking the power in knowing that I do everything I possibly can to like be a decent human being,
Yes.
to show up for my family, to show up for my friends, to if I fuck up or I do something shitty to somebody, I want to own it and I want to correct it. I want to stand up for myself. I want to take care of my body because I'm also almost 25 years sober, and there were periods in my life when I didn't really want to be around. I was doing a lot of self-destructive shit that made me like I questioned, do I want to die on accident because of what I'm doing to myself, or do I want to die on purpose? And is that why I'm doing this to myself? Like I had to ask, it's time to ask yourself the question. And I did, and I decided to get sober. So I'm coming up on 25 years. But so I'm like, I had some girlfriends over at the house last night, and they live out of town. They're staying in the next room right now. They're asleep. I made coffee, don't worry. And they said, my friend Heather, who's 25 years younger than me, goes, you need to write a book. And it's titled I Shouldn't Be Alive by Stephanie Dominguez Walton. Like, honestly, the fact that I'm here and I got this second chance at life, truly. And I mean, I never would have met your ass. I never would have had these fucking amazing kids and this husband who is my rock and my partner to the bone till the day we kick. I got this man. So I'm okay having a fucking skin scarf around my throat. And you know what? I don't care about the wrinkles in the forehead. I'm sorry about this TED talk, but like it feels really good
No,
to
it's
say it right
good.
now because we go through things as human beings. Just life is really hard sometimes. And I'm going through some things right now. But I got this moment. This is a gift. This is like, I think in shows past, you and I have talked about, maybe dabbled in, like, I think I might have said, my religion is my people. The love that I have for my people and the love that I receive. And that's my thing. You know what I mean? And this is part of it. This is what gets us through. And so you still do cause a sensation wherever you go. Because when you walk into a room, sister, you're kind of tough to not notice. Okay. I'm just going
I
to
don't
say
need
it.
to, I just want to be clear. I don't need to cause that. It was something that like I observed, right? I observed about myself and it was surprising because it was, it just wasn't what I ever thought when I was younger. Because I just, I was a little kid who was in the bath and saw the rolls in my stomach and go, look up now.
Oh, you
Just don't look
poor
at
little baby.
it.
Come on.
But here's a little funny story. I was young because I've always loved food. My grandmother called me the bottomless pit. But anyway, I wanted a donut. And my mother was like, no, you can't have a donut. And I think I was like 3 years old. And I'm screaming and I'm pissed and I want the donut. And I'm throwing a fucking fit. And I'm sitting on the toilet. I don't know why, but I was. And my mom and I, like, I'm screaming in the toilet and I flushed it. And then, like, I fell into the toilet and I thought I was going to be flushed away. And
Oh
I
yeah,
started
right down the hole.
screaming, panicking, and my mom was just laughing at me.
You poor
Such a
thing.
dork child, but
Over a
yeah, over
donut.
a donut. Oh my God, I loved my food. I still do.
I
But
do. So do I. I can't wait. I'm going to breakfast after this with my little girls, and we are gonna. I'm gonna get the crispy home fries
Yeah,
that
I
have like
love
the
them.
way they do them with. I'm not a big fan of raw scallions, but they do. They fry the scallions in with the potatoes, and then they salt. They put whatever kind of seasonings on them, and then they put a dollop of sour cream on
Oh
the
my
top.
God.
Mama's Cafe on
Yum.
Broadway and 40th in
Oh
Oakland.
my
It's an
God.
institution. The
That
woman
sounds
that has
so
been
delicious.
one of my dear friends worked there when she first moved to Oakland. She was in her like late teens or early 20s maybe, and she was kind of, she was part of that punk rock Gilman scene, that famous scene with Green Day and stuff, and she used to work in there and they used to come in for breakfast all the time. And Oakland, we're as my mayor Barbara Lee, who used to be my congress member for 27 years, she came in here and she started getting shit done in the town, and Oakland is on the move. That's what she always says. I love it. I was at her holiday party. She had like a holiday party fundraiser on Friday night. And I'm active in the campaign. I always and she's, just about to run for re-election for a full term as mayor of Oakland. And this is how much people love Barbara Lee. Okay. This is why Oakland is on the move. So we're just, we want to get people into the room. We're trying to raise funds for her office holder account so that she can give back to the community. And like, one of the things she did recently was after the SNAP benefits were cut, she used the money from her office holder account to feed people in town, people whose SNAP benefits were going bye-bye. And she puts on these lunches and breakfasts for kids at some of the public schools who want to find an opportunity in maybe the trades or want to get into Laney College, the community college right here in town. And so she's just this spectacular. That's just two things that she did, before we had our coffee in the morning. You know what I mean? And so I was part of the program. Like I usually do a big ask at the end of whatever fundraiser we have for the mayor or the, and so we're here and the people are starting to roll in, and it was at this kick ass restaurant called Lucy Blue. If you're ever in Oakland, it's in Uptown. It's amazing. And so we're there and I'm in the upstairs, like this private area, and I look down and there's Barbara having dinner before the event gets started. And who's she having dinner with? Oh, Senator Adam Schiff. Okay, who was her colleague at in the US House of Representatives and who she ran against for Senate. But Barbara, she don't hold any grudges, right? I mean, he beat her fair and square. But Adam Schiff comes to Oakland to work with the new Congresswoman, Latifah Simon, to do a housing bill to get low-income people and unhoused people into freaking housing. So Schiff's there. And I go, I'm going to say hi to Adam Schiff. And so I go down and I walk up. Barbara is my queen. We have a motto in our house that says, "What does Barbara need? Yes." Like it, period, the end, right? Because she does, she'll say to us, "What do you need?" Yes, every time. And so we got to give it back to her. Anyway, so I talked to Schiff. I told him about she's such a Barbara goes, "Steph's a really big advocate in the repro justice space and blah blah blah." And I said, "Well, and Barbara's been our most vigorous proponent, ally, advocate, blah blah blah. We named a health center after her, the largest health center in the country, Planned Parenthood Health Center." And Adam Schiff goes, "Well, I love Planned Parenthood, but my favorite health center is the one that's named after Barbara Lee." And then, and he showed up to do this housing thing with her. And then he asked her, she goes, "I got to go to an event, Adam. I'm out of here." And he goes, "Well, can I come?" So he showed up in his puffer jacket that said Senator Adam Schiff on it. And he's in the room talking about how everybody loves Barbara. And we and we and whatever she needs, we want to support her at the federal level. And I'm like, I don't, how did I get on that tip? I don't even know, but it was so exciting. And you're such a political junkie, but like, this is what I guess maybe I just want people to know, like, we got the best motherfuckers on our side. We got, and when you have leaders like Adam Schiff and Latifah Simon and Barbara Lee, and that's just California. Oh, let's not forget Alex Padilla and Gavin Newsom. And I don't want anybody talking shit about Gavin Newsom. I do want to talk about purity in Democratic politics. So
Well, I
maybe
that's
we can
good.
segue to that.
Yeah, because I do have something to say about this.
But my point is, we show up, we do the work, we do it in our own ways, whatever that looks like to anybody who might be listening right now. Like I like to get in it, right? But some of us don't. Some of us don't want to get on the phone. We don't want to stand up and take the mic, but we can make a contribution to the, it's not what you give, it's that you give kind of mentality. You can write postcards. You can, there are ways because it's going to take every single one of us to combat this plague that is whatever you want to call that Republican Party right now, right?
Fascism.
These fascist, racist pigs, and I don't want to say, I mean, I hesitate to say pig because,
Yeah, I
piggy,
know.
he,
I know.
but they're not, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. Christiane Amanpour was doing a podcast with someone recently. I can't remember because I was just fixated on her. And she said, if I had been in that pool and he said that to me, I would have said, I'm leaving now. And I encourage all of you to leave with me.
Yeah, and they didn't because they just said nothing.
They said nothing, and no men in the room
No
stepped
men.
up. I would never succeed in life because I would fight. Like I would have flipped a table in there, honestly, and then I'd be fired. So like I wouldn't be in that pool. But like, where are the employers?
Yeah,
Why
I know.
didn't Bloomberg come out and say absolutely unacceptable?
Because it was a
This is ex
woman, because it was a woman, and we still live in a patriarchy.
goddamn son of a bitch.
I think we're moving away. I don't think we're going to be out of the patriarchy anytime soon, but I think we are more, we're moving in a direct, we're going to be moving in a direction because of what's happening now. This is the pendulum. I think the pendulum, regardless of the fact that Biden was president in the middle of all of this, the pendulum was still on the side of fascism because of Fox News, because of all the shit that he was saying, and the fact that he was even alive because he is a charismatic fascist leader, even though he's falling apart in front of our fucking eyes. But, I think now that there are no guardrails, everybody's kind of waking up. Not everybody, but a lot of people at this point are waking up to it. And of course, there's always going to be a core group that's going to support him or support fascists. But more and more people are like, wait a minute, I don't like this shit. Groceries are too expensive. I'm soon enough they're going to not be able to afford health care. And he's falling asleep every 5 seconds. But you know what? I just want to throw this in here about Gavin Newsom because,
Oh
and I've
yeah,
said this from the start.
bring it
I
up,
am not
baby.
interested in him being our president. However, if he is the nominee, he gets my vote. Period. Amen. It's like I talked to Brian Karam this week. He's like, the shoe that I threw away last week, I would vote for. So, yeah, I don't care who it is. I don't care. I do care. But I mean, it's like whoever it is, that's who's got my vote. But then when we get into preference, there's a few. I didn't want him to be president before. Or I'd say, let's say during. I think he's doing a fan fucking tastic job right now of not only trolling Trump. I think that diminishes what he's doing. He is fighting fascism in the proper way. He's doing it with humor. He's treating them like they're ridiculous. He's mocking them. And here you've got this attractive, fit, full-headed, like full hair, everything that Trump isn't. Going after him, and I think it's great. But there's always been something about him that I haven't loved, right? And it doesn't matter because again, I'm going to vote for the Democrat if he's the leader. But I think, just in my own little bubble of how I see politics, I think right now, and I really was realizing this when I was talking to Brian Karam, I think Mark Kelly is somebody that might be able to capture the nation. Because the thing
Dude,
about,
you are
and
on to something.
yeah, that, and it didn't occur to me. I mean, I was seeing him, but then Brian and I were talking about it. I'm like, you know what? This might be the guy. And because of the way he's standing up to Trump, he's a fucking astronaut. He's married to Gabby Giffords. And, you
Please,
know,
of yes,
yeah. And the thing
yes.
is if he has some centrist views, right, that maybe you don't agree with, he's not writing fucking legislation. He's not going to veto progressive legislation. So he's going to be for it, right? He's going to be a Democratic president who's pro-democracy. So maybe he wouldn't, you know, take on certain things. Like, for instance, Barack Obama took on the healthcare system. I think he would too. But there might be some, you know, like you were saying, the pet issues and stuff that he may not take on. Fine. But he's not going to be writing laws. Presidents don't write the laws. So, you know, that's why I wouldn't be so overly concerned if Gavin Newsom was president. He's not my first choice. But so what? There's a lot of people. Joe Biden wasn't my first choice. But, you
No.
know, so it's like, who cares? But yeah, I mean, whoever it's going to be. But I think Mark Kelly, and I said this on Bob's show, and I know it's not a popular opinion, but I don't care. I think this is realistic. Mark Kelly, aside from being an astronaut and all that, he is a white, older man. And right now, in our current situation, we are a very divided country that's extremely racist. And, you know, of course, there's a whole bunch of people. We saw all the people that voted for Hillary, and more people voted for Hillary than Donald. We saw what happened with Kamala. And of course, there's always that group of people who are like, you know, it was stolen. Maybe it was, whatever. It doesn't matter. Her numbers were not enough to overcome whatever they might have done. And like Joe Biden's numbers, I know they cheated in 2020, but he had too many people voting for him. And so I would rather, if it were me making these decisions, let's go for the white guy in the top of the ticket. Not because women can't handle it. Women can do great, wonderful jobs. We've seen them running other countries very well and putting this one to shame. But our voters right now, mixed with the Electoral College, and I want to say the Electoral College because that's the problem. They can manipulate things with the Electoral College. So I just would love to see, and then okay, so I'm just going to throw this out to you and see what you feel. What's your first reaction to this? Let's say the ticket, just for shits and giggles, was Mark Kelly at the top and Pete Buttigieg as VP. What would you think of
Oh,
that?
well, okay. I don't want to be a wet blanket, but
I know,
listen,
but what do you think?
Brian Karam is a lot more clean than I am. He said he'd vote for a shoe he threw away. I'd vote for an ass pimple, okay?
Yeah, me too.
You know what I'm saying? I'd vote for a Kleenex full of boogers if it had a D by it. Like, I mean, let me just be who I am. And that's mild, okay,
Yeah.
friends and neighbors. I think, you know, to your earlier point about, you know, he's an older white man. That's all, you know, you had me at yeah, older white man, right? Because that's the world that we live in.
Yeah.
Because we don't elect women. We don't elect any more people of color. We don't elect gay men.
Well,
And so
but we
that
did elect Barack Obama twice.
we did, but we don't, that's what I said anymore.
Anymore.
That's what
So
put the
you think that
motherfucking
Pete
racism thing
Buttigieg
back on the
is a,
rails.
so you think he would be a liability because of his sexuality?
Yeah, and I think he'd be the best one
Yeah, I
because
know.
of who he is. I
Right.
think he'd be my top choice.
But okay, wait. What about the fact that he has consistently gone to Fox News? So he has a presence over there and he
He
never
does.
loses his temper and he's always fucking, and like, I think he's a man and he's,
Yeah, but there he's the reasonable one. They're the freaks of nature with no,
yeah.
you know, they the those viewers and even those hosts, you know, the hosts we all know they don't believe anything that they say. Unless it's like your paycheck's over, then of course they mean it. But they, you know, these people are grifting. They're the most disingenuous,
Of
out for
course.
themselves people, and their acolytes or their, you know, their followers are dumb
But I
and
mean, do you think
or
that, but do you think that, okay, so like there's the, I know MAGA's splitting. There's definitely like a little civil war going on within the Republican Party. You got the MAGA faction. Then now Marjorie Taylor Greene is leaving that.
Well,
She,
yeah,
I,
she stayed long enough to get her pension, though,
of
right?
course she did. Of course she did. But you know, I think it was Brian Karam, and he pointed out, if it wasn't him, it was somebody pointing out in her resignation letter, there were dog whistles to QAnon. Basically, the emperor has no clothes. So
Okay,
we've got Nick
okay.
Fuentes, who is a white supremacist, and he's, you know, he's got a lot of fans. I don't know what you would call it.
A
He's got a lot of
Latino
sick.
white supremacist. Isn't that the best?
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus God,
I
Nick,
know,
get your
that's just
fucking
fucking
shit
crazy.
together.
Well, and
Fucking
then
A.
Candace Owens, you know, she's also part of it. So there,
Please.
this is the new party that is kind of, it's like the new faction of maggots splitting off. And so the whole point here is that, yeah, there's going there. I know some of these people voted for Joe Biden, right? Maybe some of the MAGA who initially voted for Donald Trump in 2020 changed over to Joe Biden because they're like, fuck this. You know, he's another white man, so I'll just trust him. But we don't, okay, like what I'm trying to say here is, do we need that vote? Because the majority, I think what we're going to see in 2026, providing I'm correct, is a massive blue wave, bigger than what we saw in 2018, because there are no guardrails. And if we're, you know, and then there's just going to, you know, I know we can probably, they're still going to be awful no matter, you know, I mean, if Trump's president or JD is president or whoever, they're going to be awful. But if they're clipped because, you know, we won the midterms and maybe so big that we got Senate and the House. We could make it harder for them to do, but you know, they just break the law and they do whatever they want anyway. So I think that when we come around to time to vote, when you take a look, like if Pete were in the number two position, do we need the MAGA, the hardcore Republicans on this? Do you think that matters? And so therefore, if there were another white man or somebody, I mean, but Joe Biden's okay. Oh, and then there's also this, Joe Biden won with a black woman. So she
Well,
was not, you know, she was not their main focus. Like, so would Pete Buttigieg dampen Mark Kelly because she didn't dampen Biden?
I
Do you see what
don't
I'm?
know. I
Yeah, I
feel like
know.
there's a hierarchy in the
Yeah.
racism,
Yeah,
world.
I agree with you.
And I think that a gay man, I don't know. I just don't trust the rest of the
I know
electorate.
what you mean. I know what you
And
mean.
I've got PTSD,
Yeah.
after all this time, we've been through too much. I'm not, I'm still not over Hillary. I'm
Yeah.
still not over Hillary 10 years later.
Yeah.
You
I
know,
know. I know.
I'm just not. And, I'm not over, look, walk around in the regular world and try to be a woman of color
I know.
or an
Yeah.
LGBTQ
Yeah.
human being and
Yeah, I
watch
see
how
what you
you get
mean.
treated. I'm telling you,
So,
the
like maybe Andy
standards are
Beshear.
different.
What about Beshear? What about Kentucky
Okay,
governor?
but he's boring. I'm
He
going to
is
be pissed
boring.
if there isn't some fucking flavor. I want flavor in my life.
Yeah, no, I know. I
I
want
want flavor. I
he's kind
want
of boring.
flavor and immigrants. We get the job done.
I know.
Gays. We get the fucking job done.
Yeah, but if it's going
Women.
to be a VP that we can count on, is it going to be another white cis male? Is that what we're
That's
looking
what, and
for?
I don't want that.
I know.
I
Well,
don't want that.
I don't want
I'm
it either.
sorry. I'm trying to keep my voice down. We got people up in this house that are still asleep, but I'm fucking don't. Yes, I want the best, most capable person, but when do we open it up? I listened to Joy Reid talk about DEI and affirmative action, and she's like, she didn't say bitch, but I'm gonna add it because it makes me feel better. She's like, bitch, if Harvard didn't bring my
Yeah.
brilliant ass in, okay, it had just been another legacy white guy
Yeah.
who had rich parents with a building with their name on it. And I'm tired of
Me
that
too,
world.
but like how do we get there? How are
Well,
we
I'll
going to
tell you how we
get
get there.
okay.
I'll tell you how we get there. Back to we all have to make our voices heard.
Yeah.
We have to encourage the marginalized human beings in this, disabled folks, fucking LGBT folks, women. Women of color, people of color to step up and use their voices. I'm going to tell you, I want to tell you a very exciting story. I work in a world where we serve the marginalized community
Yeah.
and the people who have the very least. You know who those people are.
Yeah.
They're all the people I just named. They're queer. They're women. They're immigrants. They're people of color. Like, let me just tell you, this country ain't out to help those people. So we have to rely on the philanthropy of folks who have money, right? And people who are willing to show up every day and do the jobs to try to raise that money to provide the healthcare or whatever, the education. Like, we live in a broken, very fucked up racist society. Like, that was before Trump showed up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's be real on that tip. But we gotta step up. We gotta use our voices. We gotta speak out. Even if we're one of those marginalized people, you gotta sometimes, if you can, if you have a voice, use it. And if you have, and if you don't have a voice, know that there are people out there who will put it all on the line, like my loud ass, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, you know, I don't, I'm not going to sit back and be like, yes, abuse me, take advantage of me, throw me out like yesterday's trash. Oh no, that's not happening. And also, because I have to set an example for anybody that touches me in my life, for my children, and for any other marginalized person who is going to have to, you know, make that journey in life. Okay. So that's what we do. We speak up. And if we have the privilege and we aren't, you know, look, if you've got you're just a, you know, a badass white person who believes what we all believe, then do it and speak out for these four folks who don't have the voices.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. Okay. And we do that. And then we support candidates, not out of purity, like, you know, Halle Berry's mad at Gavin Newsom because he didn't put the menopause line item into the budget. Well, it's for next year, but she goes out and it's like, if you're going to fuck with people and you're going to, that is division within a party and we can't afford it. I'm not saying be quiet, but let's do our research. Let's do our research before we start taking people down. And let's really think about I remember hearing Valerie Jarrett say this one time she was talking about the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, the haters were saying, well, it's only, you know, 20 million. She goes, that's 26 million people who have healthcare that didn't before. Progress is incremental. Okay.
Yes, it is. And that's one of the things progressives and not all progressives, because obviously I am one. I think you are too. But that's what we realize is it's like in order to really see progress, we are working with a racist country. So we're not just going to get it in 5 minutes.
Oh, and it's racist right now in 2025.
Oh,
it was racist when my dad was fucking, you know, when my mom and dad were in the streets during the civil rights movement, and it was bad in, you know, 1983 when kids were saying, oh, I can't go to the prom with you because you're a beaner. Okay, that's real.
Jeez.
And it's real in 2025.
Yeah, it's gotten worse. It's gotten worse. Yeah. I mean, the thing is it's always been there, but that band-aid, or it's not a band-aid, but you know what I mean. It's been ripped off by Donald. And
100%.
it's not just him, because the Tea Party was already going there. I mean, the horrible things they were doing when Barack Obama. I remember there was this one guy who had a watermelon hanging from a tree, and you know, he was wearing he put a black jacket over, but it was as if they hung. Oh my God. And it was endless, right? It was just endless fucking racist shit coming. So I think that's one thing about the Pete Buttigieg thing, even though he would be vice president, and I'm not sure how that would go. The idea
he'd be
of
amazing.
He would be amazing, but what I'm saying is I don't know. Would it hinder it? Like, if he were the VP for Mark Kelly, would it hinder Mark Kelly is what I mean. And then, you know, if he were to ever become president, does the same thing happen that happened to Obama? Because obviously Obama was, you know, reelected, and he, both times he had really good numbers. But
we lost the House and the Senate.
Backlash,
there was retaliation. Yeah. The backlash was insane.
The backlash against a black president resulted in Donald Trump.
Yes.
So, you know, I feel, there was cheating and the country voted for Hillary, but there was enough racism to let the cheating, you know, it made it succeed because there was enough racism. So I feel like, you know, the idea here is what happens to, you know, when are we going to be a people that can accept a black woman, a gay man, somebody who's from another country, a natural citizen, but from an, you know, originally from another.
Right.
When are we going to do that?
I
don't
be a
know.
While.
It's going to be a while. And you know, I just want to reiterate and be very clear here. You and I know that people of color, women, all of it, all of these groups of people that we're talking about, it could do just a fan-fucking-tastic job. It's not about them. It's about the racism that keeps them from it. So I just, you know, it's, I really want to be clear. And I want to ask you this question because last year at this time, you know, I was really not in a good way. And part of it was because I, about a large part of it was because I was terrified my mother was going to leave the country. This election was just such a fucking smack in our faces. And, you know, she's like, I'm leaving, I'm going to Portugal. And I'm like, ah! So obviously she's not going to Portugal. And thank God, I'm so grateful I have my mommy. But, you know, there's still the whole, are we going to survive this shit? And so we were at a place last December where we were like, we don't know what's going to happen. Now we're a year into it. What are your thoughts? Like, where do you think this goes? Where from our trajectory today? Like, where, democracy.
Democracy? Mm-hmm. I think, okay, I'm going to tell you something that is really exciting to me. I think that, you know, I live in a bubble, okay? I really do live in a bubble. I'm in Oakland, California, all right? Like, so we're all super like in it to win it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm excited about democracy. I think we're going to save it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I mean, does that sound crazy to even
no,
say
I
that?
No, I think we will too.
Okay. Because I got kids who, my daughter's turning 18 in February, so she gets to vote in 2026.
All right.
She can't wait.
Yeah.
My son, who lives in he goes to school in New York and he's graduating in May, and he goes, Mom, I really want to vote for Mom Donnie. And I said, you're going to have to change your residence to New York. Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, no, no. He goes, can't I vote in both states? I go, no. That's...
no.
I said, that's voter fraud, babe. He goes, well, I don't want to give up my California voting status. Because he likes voting for Barbara Lee. He likes voting for, you know, Alex Padilla. He likes voting, you know, all the things, Latifah Simon. So that excites me because young people are... Yes. Well, I don't even know. I think my kids are Gen Z. I'm not 100% sure, but whatever. They're that generation. They're 21 and almost 18.
And yeah, they're Gen Z.
Okay. So they're very concerned about their future and they're seeing old bitches like me raise them. So they know, like, okay, my mom and dad
old
are
bitches
at,
like me.
My mom and dad are really in this. Mm-hmm. That we talk about it with them. And thank God for my mom and dad who told me this is a privilege. You better get your act together and look, you know, research your candidates, research your issues, because you're not, you need your vote. You have to cast your vote.
Yeah.
That's the only way. Now that was in 1984. Okay. And here we are. So it's an experiment. We've had some good years. We've had some wins, but we've always had this underlying, just this theme that kind of drives us, and it's the racism, mm-hmm. right? So there now are more mixed race people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My kids are proud Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is where it's changing. So let's the experiment, the democracy, all the shit that we're doing, we got these kids coming up
mm-hmm.
and ain't none of them supporting the racism, the fucking genocide, let's take all of the social services and the safety net mm-hmm. stuff out of the picture so that people suffer worse. They don't want to see ICE in their communities. These are their friends' parents.
Yeah.
And their friends, you know, this could be me. Like if I mouth mm-hmm. off too hard, you know, like my brother and I used to joke about it, but it's like, we're on that first bus over the border, mm-hmm. but it's not funny. Like,
no,
cause it's real.
Funny.
It's real now. You know what I mean? Like, okay. So, and then we have people who are just getting, like, I've got a girlfriend who I work with at Planned Parenthood. She's our chief public affairs officer. She's a 33-year-old black woman raised in Detroit, Michigan, but has been out here doing her whole career. And it's been public service
mm-hmm.
for the last, you know, 10 years in this region. She lives in Sacramento. When Prop 50 passed, new districts were drawn, and she's running in a new district as a Democratic candidate for the United States Congress. Her name is Lauren Babb Tomlinson. She just got the endorsement of the Congressional Black Caucus. Leaders We Deserve, Vote Mama, which is a national PAC, my PAC, the Voter Protection Project. We are in it to win it with her. This is how the change starts to happen. And you've heard of my girlfriend Heather, who she ran the Andrew Jans campaign. I told you, remember we talked with her ages ago. She's the executive director of VPP. This woman is in her car all over the region, flying here, flying. She gives a shit so much about the future of democracy, which is all based in, you know, voting rights and, you know, there are so many people that we haven't heard of who are all in on democracy that I have the faith.
Me too.
Did that kind of answer the question?
No, it did. And you know what? I'm going to add to it because I know you got to go to breakfast, but I'll add to it and then I'm going to let you go. But I think that, you know, Greg Oliar did an article and a Substack, I don't know, several months ago. And he talked about how, like, he compared to what's happening now to Nazi Germany. And he was saying some real key differences are that in Nazi Germany at the beginning of Hitler's run, he didn't have resistance from anyone. We've got resistance from people, from the voters. We've got resistance from at least a portion of our government. And we've got resistance with some, like Costco and Netflix. You know, some of them capitulated, and that was upsetting. But we're seeing a certain amount of resistance that Nazi Germany never experienced, right? It was kind of like people were either too afraid or they were all in. So we do have a strong resistance. And then after that second No Kings rally, people were like, wait a minute, we've got some fucking steam here. And then we have this amazing, you know, Tuesday where we see Mom Donnie win in New York, and then we see Abigail Spamberger and all these special elections. Granted, the Tennessee election didn't go. Now, Brian Karam and I differ on this because he was kind of like, you know, he was really going after Democrats, which I agree with basically what he's saying as far as Democrats need to message better. And this is, we've just heard this forever, right? Because it's true. Democrats do need to message better. When you look at how Republicans message, they have a very strong, cohesive message. It's easier for them because they use fear. And it's just very easy. It's much more difficult for Democrats to get that message that it's going to appeal to all the different factions of our party. But I still think it could be improved upon. I think it should always be something we, you know, the Democratic Party should. And it's not always the party that comes up with the messaging. It's usually the strategists. So we need some really strong strategists.
Yeah.
You know, look at fucking Gavin Newsom's team. Take a cue from them.
She's 26, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, let's start paying attention to what those folks have to say.
Right. And unfortunately, yes, mocking does matter in a case of fascists, because one of the ways you undo fascism is mocking. And so, you know, I don't want to discount that and say, oh, they're just nanny nanny boo-booing him. No, this is a real strategy, and it pisses him off. So, and we want him pissed off. And we want them, we want people to, or him to know that we're pissed off. So anyway,
I couldn't agree more. And I also think one of the things that we need to figure out, like, we know as a Democratic Party what we're against, right? And sometimes we're against shit that happens within our own party.
Yeah.
Which I, and of course, if there's corruption or you know, further marginalization of people, you got to call that shit. But I want to find out, what do we stand for?
Yeah.
What's our line?
Well, that's also, Brian was basically saying that one of the things that he says is Democrats have a tendency to talk down to voters, where they tell you MAGA is bad, MAGA is bad, which obviously we know it is. But he's like, I want to hear, you know, what they're going to do. What are their solutions? How are they going to do it? I do think Democrats do that. I think they could be stronger. You know, I'm not going to be overly critical of Democrats because I look at everything that they've done, and nobody's perfect. There is corruption on both sides, but to the degree, I mean, Democrats just have some corruption Republicans are corruption, right? There's always going to be corruption, no matter what the fuck is going on. If you have the most progressive party in the world, there's going to be corruption because that's politics. So you can't be so fucking naive to think that that's never going to happen. But regardless, yes, Democrats are the ones that have the needs of the nation, you know, and that's their priority. And there's some really great Democrats. There's some really weak Democrats. But in the end, you know, we've all we got. But I think that we should always be improving, right? Isn't that the fucking point? Always.
Yes.
Isn't that what they do in fucking football? They go back and they look at their plays and they go, okay, we fucked up here and this was really good and let's keep this and let's lose that. That's how we need to look at it. Instead of, I don't want to see these people wringing their fucking, you know, undergarments and, you know, and clutching their pearls and going, don't criticize Democrats. No, we can do both. We can be critical in a loving way because fascists are the ones we're fighting, but we want our leaders to fight harder. So we can say that, and it doesn't mean we're attacking them. There's a difference. Right. Attacking is, I think, you know, when you say, don't vote for this person, don't vote for Gavin Newsom because he did a thing I don't like. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not going to ever tell anybody not to vote for the Democrat. But I'm going to tell the Democrat, hey, could you step up your game a little? Because the fucking fascists are never going to stop.
Right. You and need that, to you step know, we it need, up. We need more. We need more. We look to you for more.
Yeah. Well, that's and why that, we that put you more, in there.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, it's like I love the Democratic Party. I love the Democratic principles. There are always going to be players in that party who I do not like, I do not trust, or whatever. But in the end, I am a faithful and loyal pro-democracy Democrat. And that's how it's going to be. So, you know, I know.
Same.
Of course, we're both the same. That's Come why on. We're besties.
yeah, that's why we love each other so much.
Okay, I know you got to go eat your potatoes.
I'm gonna get that. I'm getting that sour cream too.
Please have a bite for me. Think of me.
I will
say
I'm will.
Gonna bite for Kimberly.
We're gonna get some fucking pancakes for the center of the table.
Yum.
You know what I'm saying?
With the butter.
And then I might get the corned beef hash with that scoop of butter just dripping down. Bring it to me.
Bring
now.
It. Well, I'm gonna have my very healthy breakfast that is, you know, like my protein oatmeal with a whole bunch of blueberries.
Yum, that sounds good too.
It is good. It's yummy. So all right, well, what you know what?
Love
Merry
you,
Christmas. Love you too. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah,
all of it.
Baby.
Have fun. You know, I love talking to you. So we'll chat again in the new year with
right,
microphones.
Anytime. You know it. Anytime.
All right. You take
love
care.
Love you so much.
Love you
okay.
too. Bye bye.
Bye.
It's Sunday morning, and that wonderfully relaxed feeling of a long, lazy day lingers in the air. If you want to make the moment last, may I suggest the perfect solution? The Martin Sheen Podcast. Join me, your host, Martin Sheen, for beautifully crafted 20-minute programs filled with never-before-heard stories of my life, along with personal reflections and poetry that inspires. The Martin Sheen Podcast is the perfect Sunday refresh, a chance to take a deep breath, relax, and know that the stress of Monday may be just around the corner, but not here, not now. So make this your weekly moment of calm as we explore faith, hope, love, and what it means to be human. And know this journey is ever unfolding as I invite you to see what's next with me, Martin Sheen, and thank you.